Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple, whom he also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, to all things, Lord, as I always do, Lord, that you would get me out of the way this evening, Lord. I pray that the message would go out to those that are here this evening, Lord. I pray, Father, that minds are open, and Lord, that hearts are open, and that the message would hit where it needs to be hit. And Jesus, there used to be an old saying back home that says, never mind the mules, just load the wagon. You ever heard that before? Never mind the mules, just load the wagon. In other words, you know, don't worry about what's happening over here. You just take care of your job. Amen? And I think it fits appropriately with the scripture reading this evening that I just read. Say what you will about old Peter. I really like old Peter. You know that? You know, because Peter, he always asked questions. He always made statements or the other disciples may have thought of it, but Peter was the one guy that would speak out. Amen? And just blurt out questions or utterance, or you know what, any declaration that come to his mind when he was walking with Jesus here. At first glance, you know what, it made him seem foolish. It made him look foolish, right? Made him look like, you know what, he didn't really know what he was talking about. But in reality, Peter was not the only Lone Ranger. You know what I'm saying? And when I say that, he just had the nerve to speak out and to say what was on his mind, where some of the other disciples may have been thinking it, but they didn't have that on their mind. You can call him impetuous if you want to. You know what he may have been, if you want, but it's because of Peter, you know what, folks, that we have some insight into what was going on and some of the things of Jesus' mind. Yes, it was Peter who said it. Although others might forsake you, Jesus, old Peter said, you know, not me. You know what, even if it cost my life, I'll forsake you. Yes, but it was Peter who obeyed the Lord, all right? Three times, we know that. We've heard it preached many a time. Now, the setting for a test of the resurrection is one more than these. He asked him that three times, right? He asked him three times. And Peter's response all three times, he got frustrated every time that the Lord asked him that question. He got frustrated. The Lord told him what his future would be. Die a martyr's death. Through Peter fashion. Instead, you know, of being satisfied with what Jesus told him, you know what he did? Peter noticed that John was following behind, and he said, what about him, Lord? You know what? I'm going to hold John back there. You told me what's going on in my life. You know what? And what's happening to me, but now, you know, what's in store for him back there? Folks, Jesus' response was, Jesus said to him, tarry till I come, what is it to thee? Follow thou me. If I want him to remain alive until I come back to your business, that's pretty much what he told him. You know what? Never mind the mules, just load the wagon, Peter. Never mind them, just load and keep doing what you're supposed to do. Jesus told him that you know what? What about him, though? What about him? Evidently, in Peter's case, misery loves company. And you know what? There are those who feel the same way in churches today. Amen? They worry about what the other one's doing, worry about what this one over here, they're not taking care of what they should be doing for the Lord. You know what? And I say to you, if you're like that here this evening, never the wagon for yourself. Amen? There are some who take comfort in the thought of other folks. You know, can say, well, you know what? I'm done with you doing that. We'll let everything else that's going on in our life serve as an excuse for us not to do what God wants us to do. People in churches today do simply because other folks are not doing them in time. Many time in churches that I've been in. And you know what, folks? I'm going to just be blunt with you. It's no different in our church here, see, where a lot of people do just a short amount of work, do a little bit amount of work. And you know what? And costly. They're costly doing that. But you know what? The ones that are doing the work, we do not have the right to question why other ones are not doing the work. Yes, we don't. We don't have that. There are many churches today who don't do simply because of that. When they are confronted about the neglect of duty, the first thing that they say, well, Sister So-and-so is not doing it, or Sister So-and-so is doing that. Guess what? Just load the wagon. Just load the wagon. Don't worry about the mules. Amen? Just keep doing what God wants you to do Because you know what? One of these days, what you're going to get is your reward in heaven. It's not going to be dependent on what Belinda does, or what I do, or what Patty does. It's going to be dependent on what you do. Amen? Their judgment will be based on what they, not what you did or what you did not do. Every man will have to see God for himself. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to what he has done. What others do and do not do is not a valid excuse for you not doing and keeping on with what you're supposed to do. It's not. We as humans, it's natural for us as humans to have a tendency to try and compare ourselves to one another. Amen? We do. The preachers do that. Amen? We do sometimes. Well, you know what? That guy's doing this. Well, why shouldn't I do that? You know what? I've had to learn down through the years that I am not Billy Graham. I'm not Danny Jeffries or Tim Burch. I am Dave Long. And I will preach it the way that God gives me breath to do it. And I cannot concern myself if I don't do it their way. If you're here tonight and you think that I should be preaching a certain way or that I should be doing this a certain way, you know what my recommendation is to you is to pray that God will show it on my own. Amen. You remember when Jesus went to visit Mary and Martha? You remember that story, his words? She was right there, attentive to his words, but Martha was around the house. You remember that? Martha complained to the Lord. She complained to him because, you know what? Her sister, the lady, was sitting at his feet, and here I am doing all the work. Have you ever heard that in churches before? Oh, yes, Lord, yes, we've heard that, have we not? Oh, yeah, I've done it all. I do this, I do that, listen to me. Okay, praise God for your service. Keep it up. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can develop a bitter spirit because of that. I've seen that happen many a times. We develop a bitter spirit because we think that we're doing it all. We make comparisons and surmise that we are the only ones that are doing right. Or when we are doing more than anyone else. We do that. We summarize that sometimes in our own minds. Never mind the mules, folks. Just load the wagons. Amen? Keep serving God. Keep doing what God wants you to do. And I'll tell you what, let them stand before God's judgment one of these days and take for what they're doing. But you know what? If God has called you to do a job, do it to the best of your ability each and every day that you stand before God. But notice how the Lord responded whenever Martha and Mary, he said, if I choose to let him stick around until I come back, listen to me, if what business is that of yours? You follow me. In other words, Peter, don't worry about what's going to happen to John. Worry about what's going to be in your life, what's going to happen to you, what you are going to do. We know full well that after the Holy Spirit come upon Peter at the day of Pentecost, listen, he was a totally different man from that point on. Your business is just to follow me. That's the message that the Lord has for us today. Amen? The message to you today is, you know what? You continue to follow Jesus for yourself. There are some folks who think that it's their God-ordained duty to make sure that others are doing right. I tell you right now, I am not judge and lord and master and ruler. I am not that. I am just a preacher of God's word. But you know what? If it hits home to you, I say amen. God's wanting to deal with you. But I am not going to stand over top of you and try to rule over top of anybody. Because you know what? The Bible says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And you know what? I've told you this, and I'll continue to tell you this. When you work it out, make sure it's in fear and make sure you're trembling. And you know what? The word will hit home where it needs to be. Yes, it seemed very unfair, but remember Matthew 21-16. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. You all know the story. Down in verse 8, so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith to his stewards, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came and were hired above this 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they were supposed that they should receive more than they likewise receive a penny. They got what they were told that they were going to get. Let me tell you something. Whether you're working for the Lord day and night and doing what you think, and maybe you're looking and nobody else is doing anything, you're doing what God wants you to do. You're going to receive your rewards. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Those people that don't want to do as much, I'm going to tell you what, they're going to receive their rewards also. It may not be as much as you get. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to tell you what. If we get to heaven, praise God, what more reward do we want? And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, the last have wrought but what hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which was born the burden and the heat of the day. And Jesus said, but he answered unto them, and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Amen. Doest thou not agree for me with a penny? Listen to me. When you come and give your life to Jesus, you are agreeing to accept him in your heart, and heaven is your home. Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even unto thee. Praise the Lord this evening. That is why some churches and some Christians are in the mess that they're in, because they want to worry about what everybody else is doing and not taking care of what they need to take care of. I'll tell you what, I love Medina Church. I love Jake and him. But it's not for me to stand up here and worry about what they're doing down there whenever they're serving God. It's not that I got to worry about Drift Run Church. And I'm going to tell you something here this evening, brothers and sisters. You need to worry about yourself. You need to worry about your salvation. You need to worry about if you're going to make it one of these days and read your Bible for yourself and do what God wants you to do for yourself, whatever that may be. Everybody's trying to watch and make sure everybody else, they're trying to watch and make sure everybody else is doing that as a result. No one is getting anything done. If I'm sitting up here, have to watch over everything that you're doing, you know what? I'm not going to get done what I need to get done. I ain't going to get the studying done that I need to get done. And brother, if we are doing that, if you're doing that thing, you're not going to do the work of the Lord justice whenever you do that. If we are not careful here at Drift Run Church, folks, we can even fall into that trap for ourselves. Amen? Listen to me. We're in the process of doing something for the Lord out here. And I believe, you know what, if we're not careful, if we start watching and looking around and saying, who's doing that and why they're not doing this, we can fall into that same trap. 1 Corinthians 2:12, 4-11. Now there are diversities of gifts, but there's the same Spirit. It says, and there are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. Amen? There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 12:20 and 24, also tells us, but there are many members, but yet there is one body. Look around this evening. You are part of the body of Christ if you are a Christian tonight. There's no one here any greater or any less than anybody else. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Amen? Listen to me. Look around you. The ones that you see, maybe not as doing as much, there is necessity in that, brothers and sisters. There is. And those members of the body which you think are less honorable, upon these we bestow more adamant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which had lacked. Amen? Don't think for one minute, you know what? Not everybody's meant to be a teacher. Not everybody's meant to be the janitor. Not everybody's meant to be the preacher. But praise God this evening. Whatever your part is, that's what God has for you to do. You may be a prayer warrior. You may be just somebody that knows the Scripture. Whatever it may be, or send out cards. But praise God, you are no less important than the preacher is. Amen? Never mind the mules, folks. Just load the wagons up. Amen? Just load them. Yes, each Christian, each church, each ministry has a unique calling. Everybody. I look around here, and you know what? If I wanted to point it out, every one of you have a unique calling on your life that I can see. I can see it, and I hope and pray other people in here can see it. No matter how small, how insignificant it may seem, you have a calling upon your life. You're out of order when you think you can preach when the Lord hasn't called you to preach. Am I right? Amen? You're out of order if you think you can play this piano if you cannot play a lick. Amen? Amen? You're out of order if you think that, you know what, that you're a teacher. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you this right now. God calls teachers like He does preachers. Read it. It's in God's Word. Amen. He calls you to teach. He calls us to preach. There are different things that He calls us to do. And praise God, we need to be doing that. And don't look around and say, well, I think they should be doing it. No. God's called you to do it. He's called you to do it. Our task is to make sure that we are called doing what God wants us to do, what He's called us to do. That is our task. That's what your task is this evening, is to make sure of your calling. Make sure of that election. Make sure that you're saved, and make sure what God has called you to do, whatever it may be. And do it to the absolute best of your ability, whatever it may be. Do it to the best that you can do it. And then when you compare yourself to others, you deceive yourself. Am I right? The Bible tells us, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he does what? He deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in others. Amen? You know what? For every man shall bear his own burdens. I cannot bear Michelle's burdens. I cannot bear my wife's burdens. I can't bear my own burdens. And we bear our own burdens before the Lord. And you know what you have to do in your life. And Peter, we can see the error of our way, being overly concerned about what he has given others to do. And that's what Peter was concerned about. He was concerned about John, what he was going to do. Peter had better worry about himself. And you know what? After, like I told you, after the Holy Spirit come upon him, Peter was a different man. Peter was a different man. Though our fellow Christians may seem to be prosperous to our own eyes, you know what? While you are suffering, God is not unjust. You know what? There are times whenever people look around and they say, well, you know what, God? Why is this happening to me and my family? And these people over here are not living as good as I am, and nothing's happening to them. I've heard that before. I have heard that before. And I'll tell you the truth. You know what, God? You don't know what your brother's been what's going on in their life. You don't know what they're going through. It may look good on the outside, but you know what? On the inside, it may not be so good. Don't worry about him. Don't worry about the one on the cross. Don't worry about it. You just make sure that what you are doing is what the Master assigned you to do. You worry about that. And I tell you this, if you do that, we will be a strong church. You will be a stronger Christian. You'll not have to worry about everybody else, because you know what? You'll be too worried about what God wants you to do. Again, I say it humbly, never mind the mules. Just load the wagon. Just load it. Load it up and keep on loading it. Keep on working. And you know what? One of these days we'll make her home. Amen? We'll make it home. The church will continue to grow the way God wants it to grow. If we worry about ourselves and not everybody else, the church is going to continue to grow and do what God wants it to do. Amen? Amen. They come and get a song.